It's wonderful to be with you this morning. People have often asked me, what is it that I enjoy about being a bishop? And most commonly, I enjoy meeting people. And so it's a joy to be here at a time of celebration. And it is wonderful to be able to commission Christina in her new ministry. Licensings are times of celebrations. But also, I have to admit to you that I love baptisms as well. They are often chaotic. They are often full of people who don't normally come to church. But they are times of thanksgiving. But the reality is that baptisms also come in all shapes and sizes. Over the years, I have baptized many children, and I'm sure Anders has as well. And the truth is, behind every baptism, there are stories. People come at different stages of their faith stories. People come with the stories of what are going on in their context. Baptizing children of parents who have long awaited the birth of a child. Baptizing children alongside their parents who have come to faith later in life. Baptizing the child who only has a few hours to live. And the truth is, just like the presentation in the temple, often baptisms are happiness intertwined with grief, which is often the reality of our lives. Darkness and light dancing together. Tension between life and death, between struggling and hope. And for those of us who know the birth narratives and the death narratives of Christ, it can be very easy to pass over such the account that we have this morning in Luke's Gospel without really seeing what it is about. Because, of course, the presentation of Christ would have been a happy occasion. A child born safely, giving thanks to God. But into this occasion comes the reality of death and of suffering. And into this occasion we have two bent over figures, Anna and Simeon. And for those of you who have ever seen Rembrandt's painting of the presentation in the temple, you will know that that portrays probably the reality. Two grade people stooping over a healthy looking baby. The ancient world could not have been a comfortable place for those who had got to their grand ages. There was no pain relief. There was little capacity to mitigate any of those difficult and painful and uncomfortable effects of the natural body's aging process. The physical age, the physical pain, the difficulty and the burden would have grown deeper and harder every day. And here we have Simeon, bent over, grey-haired, in his older years, and he comes and sings this wonderful song. It is a song that would have come very familiar to us. It is a canticle that we sing at night prayer. It is found in the office of most Western denominations, the Anglican, the Roman Catholic, the Lutheran, Eastern Orthodox, the Nunc Dimittis. It gets its name from the first two words of Simeon's song, "Dismiss me now." This song, sung by Simeon, is the closing song of Luke's birth narrative. It is the voice of a priest who would have been accustomed to singing. But this was a very personal song. Whilst it talks about the ancient hopes of Israel being realised, about the dramatic transformation of society, it sings of foretelling of the change in culture, the ending of deep divisions, but it also is a very personal song. It sings about Simeon's hope, his personal hope. And in this moving picture, this grey old man is now ready to die, And he takes the small baby in his arms, filled with the Holy Spirit, assured by God that he would not die until he saw God's Christ, the Messiah. And he says, "Now, Master, let me go in peace. Your will has been fulfilled." It is a decisive moment, the moment that begins to transform everything. And we should not overlook it. We should not miss the fact that here our salvation is declared, our hope is sung about.